It's Wednesday, January the 3rd, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world, and this totally isn't the second time we've tried to start.
It isn't. It's the first.
If you're listening to this, congratulations. This is the first official show of 2018.
Of season 7.
Season 7 has just begun. Also, if you're listening to this, my apologies, because you actually haven't heard last week's episode until very recently.
Yeah. Where the fuck's that episode, Vince?
It's on my laptop.
I'm trying to put it up on the Facebooks. It's not there.
Yeah. It was a fun episode.
How do they know?
Well, by the time they listen to this, they will have known. That's the magic of production.
What if they don't listen to it in order?
Whoa. Well, they're going to have to, because then I'll just put this one up a month later.
All right.
So yeah, January's here, 2018. It's the winter season.
It's fucking cold.
If you are in the southern hemisphere, it must be warm.
If you're in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah. If you're in the north, it's just snow. It's
freezing.
Yeah, it's not fun, man.
We had record temperatures, I thought, on New Year's Day.
Yeah. There. Extreme climate conditions. Something like that.
My car can't handle it.
No? No?
No, I can't. But
it's just no fun. I don't like getting up in the morning.
Well, you don't like getting up in the morning and just being immediately frozen?
Yeah, it's not fun.
No? Oh, it's fine. It's okay.
Oh, it sucks, man. Let me tell you. It's cold.
I turned
to an icicle.
Prove it.
That sucks. Yeah, guess what? Because it's the first week of the year, nothing is happening in the world.
There's some leftover stuff from the week before the New Year show.
Yeah, sure.
The award show.
Sure, there is.
But not much.
Yeah, I mean, in the world, there's a lot of things happening that aren't really relevant to anything.
Thing is, though, I'm feeling positive about this year.
Are you?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm the video game champion this year.
Whoa, that's right. That's right. You are.
I am.
What are you going to do with your newly found powers?
I'm going to tell you sweet video game news stories.
Oh, yeah?
So there was some leftover stuff from before the award show.
Okay.
Which was Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight and Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight got new trailers. And they're all in Japanese. I don't know if there's subtitles out for them.
Yep.
But it just basically shows off some more gameplay. It shows off some artists who are remixing a lot of their songs. One of note is in the Persona 3 game. Hideki Naganuma is in it, and he did the soundtrack for Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio Future.
JSR.
Yeah, so kind of regarded as one of the best video game soundtracks by old people.
Sure.
Right? So that's pretty exciting, just to see a name I recognize. But also, there's going to be a special edition of the game, of course, there is. The special edition will come with both versions of the game.
Yep.
It'll come with the Persona 5 game and the Persona 3 game. But also, it will come with a PS4 version, a download code for Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yes.
So it's kind of, there you go, like Persona 4 Dancing All Night's coming to the PS4.
The special version of this game is... Does it include both the PS4 and the Vita versions?
That I don't know. I think it might just include the one you pick. Or it might be for PS4 only, because a lot of the boxes that were shown were PS4.
Oh, okay.
That might be like a PS4 only thing.
It would just be really weird if you bought the special edition for the Vita, but you got the PS4 code. But I mean...
Yeah, true. Yeah. And the thing is, like, that game already came out on the Vita, right? So you can find it dirt cheap. So yeah, I'm actually pretty excited for that game, and I think I've made a decision that I'm going to play it on my Vita.
Why must you hurt yourself? Why do you hate yourself?
I like myself, and I like my Vita.
No, you don't.
My Vita gets.
You want to like your Vita.
I like my Vita. No, I got more games for the Vita than I do the Switch, and they're all fun.
It's like you're bad mouthing the Switch here.
No, it is. I'm not. I understand. I just own more games. Like,
and yet you still tell people to buy the Switch.
The Switch is good too.
But choose
this
your words.
Is good as well.
Choose your words carefully. Are you trying to insinuate that the Vita is superior to the Switch?
I'm saying depending on your tastes in video games.
Wow, this is going to be an awful year.
The
this
Vita
is
going to be an might, awful might have year. More to offer if you are, say, a huge weeb.
Oh, this is awful.
If you're a huge weeb, You might want to check out the Vita.
I should have tried harder. I should
have tried harder. Look at what you have wrought. No! It's weeb games for everybody.
Yeah.
But yo, that's... Other than that, Monster Hunter 4... Or sorry. Monster Hunter World.
Yes, that's the one.
Monster Hunter World for the PC got delayed.
Wow, surprise.
It got delayed all the way till the autumn.
So buy it on console now.
Yeah, buy it on console now. Like, if you don't got a PlayStation, buy a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Just get it.
I get it. I understand everyone who has those high-end PCs. Yeah. You want to play it on the best system, but...
My one friend, I was like, yo, shit got delayed till whatever. He's like, well, I guess I'll play Dauntless. You know, that what like...
the fuck?
You know, that indie game, Dauntless, yes, that's like the Monster Hunter wannabe. Mm-hmm. I was like, LOL, nice try, buddy. Buy it. God. Buy the Weeb box. Buy the PS4.
Let's do it.
So yeah, that's gonna happen too. And then, I don't know, there's a lot of interesting video game awards happening.
Are there?
A lot of interesting lists going around. Some people said that Zelda wasn't the best game of the year, and I think they're wrong.
Yeah, who said that?
I think it was not IGN.
IGN? No, IGN had to pick Zelda.
No, IGN picked Zelda. It was someone else.
It wasn't Polygon, was it?
I don't remember.
Eurogamer.
Must have been, yeah. Some of those weird games, but
yeah.
But yeah, like... It's weird. It's a weird year. It's a good year for video games. It's going to be hard to top this year. But Monster Hunter's coming out, so that's really all I need. Top 10 games of the year, Monster Hunter World 10 times.
I hope so. I hope so.
Monster Hunter World plus the Monster Hunter World DLC, 1 to 9.
Wow.
But yeah, it's been slow in the news world for video games.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything I wanted to pick out or talk about.
There's a really interesting article, I think it was on gamesindustry.biz, about Drop Mix.
What about it?
About how it's having trouble finding
an audience.
It's having trouble marketing. Strictly because since they're going through big box retailers like Toys R Us and stuff like that, people don't really know how to advertise it or how to place it. They don't know if they should put it in the toy section, if they should put it in the electronics section, if it should be a video game, if it should be a board game, stuff like that. And because like its own uniqueness is kind of killing it in the typical storefront.
Yeah,
especially with things like I think it went on massive sale around Christmas, like half off almost in America. A lot of the card packs aren't getting restocked and stuff like that, so it's been weird. Like a board game that I also very much enjoy, I own it, and that like it's been critically raved about, is just having a lot of trouble in the traditional retail space.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. It was a pretty interesting read if you want to check that out.
Hmm.
Other than that, I got nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
That's it? You got nothing? You got not a Zippo Zilch?
No, I was trying to think about like, what happened last week that was relatively interesting in the gaming world or the movie world.
What about in the toy world?
Nothing. I mean, Bandai made a big kerfuffle about the 200th Master Grade.
Okay.
That they revealed. It's from, where is it from? From Gundam Sentinel. Anyways, it's like one of those like offshoot side story visual novel projects.
They use the 200th Master Grade on a side story?
Yeah.
Weird.
I know, right?
And like, you think that'd be some variation of like the RX-78?
They did do one with they have one, I think it's like gold plated.
Ooh!
And the only way you can get it?
7-Eleven.
No, so it's a point-based system. The way it works is for every $10, you get 2 points.
Okay.
You need 1,000 points.
Whoa! Damn!
So,
it's not cheap.
Yeah, man. It's not cheap at all. So
holy
if you want,
shit.
Like, if you want an all gold, like gold-ass gold, Master Grade Gundam... there you go.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Japan exclusive, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
The fuck, man.
Yeah.
Those are weird.
No, okay, that's a lot. There was one big hot news story for the Gundam world.
Okay.
They're finally doing a high grade Leo. You know what a Leo is?
A lion of some sort?
It's the grunt suit from Gundam Wing.
Oh.
Because there's never been at any scale
A Leo toy?
Yeah.
Cool.
A Gundam Wing run suit.
That's pretty cool.
People are losing their shit, and I'm just like, whatever.
Listen, all I care about is the names of the people in Gundam Wing.
That's true.
Like, I don't care or give a shit about Gundam Wing
yeah.
other than the names in that show.
Oh, fuck. You know what was going around?
What?
Someone was like, I think it was Crunchyroll's account. They put out a clip from Gundam Wing. I don't know if you've seen it, where it goes, when someone asks you what anime is, show them this clip.
Oh, and it's the one where it's like, you want to come to my party?
Yeah. And he rips
you.
It up.
Yeah.
I'll kill you.
Yeah. And out of context, that scene is lame.
Yeah.
Also, in context, also weird.
Yeah.
He's such an edgelord.
Oh, it's so good, though.
He's such an edgelord.
I wish one day I could be that extra. Because he comes up, and he looks at her, and he gives her like that, I love you, but I can't
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
But then he says, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, what?
What? And then from that point on in the series, she's like in love with him.
Yeah.
And like, and just coming in at the most inopportune times and being like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm just like, what is this?
That's a dumb show.
Oh, totally.
That's a bad Gundam show.
Gundam Wing is awful.
Yeah.
But
Miliardo Peacecraft
yes.
is a good name.
Oh, very good. Treyas Kushinada.
Treyas
Kushinada. Zex Markey.
Duo Maxwell.
Yeah, they have some really good names there.
Oh,
good stuff. Mm-hmm. There's also Noin.
Noin, yeah, that's a bad name.
Noin.
That's a bad name.
Noin in her Aries.
That's a bad name.
Noin.
You can't win them all. You can't win them all.
I guess so. No, you cannot. You cannot win them all. Oh, that's a shame. What a shame.
Well, I don't know. You just want to go into our weeks?
Yeah, sure, man.
What'd you do?
I played some of that Gran Turismo Sport again.
Still?
So.
Still keeping you?
I cannot believe the support of this game.
Okay.
They basically added in like the entire, let's say, beginner's campaign from like Gran Turismo 6.
Okay.
Like they just patched it in. They're like,
oh wow.
They're like, you know how when you go to, when I said you go to single player, it's just a license test.
Yeah.
Well, now there's a career tab.
Oh.
And it has like Sunday Cup, Amateur Cup.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it's like the first third of a real Gran Turismo game.
That's cool.
And then they added like 20 more cars, but caveat.
They're $1 each.
No. 7 of them are Skylines. So
good.
So like
good. No,
they added like 4 cars.
20 of them should be Skylines.
They're like, and they're all dumb too. They're like, oh, Skyline V-Spec 2, V-Spec Midnight Purple Edition. And
but yeah,
like,
I want that Midnight
and
Purple.
It's like, come on, get the fuck out of here.
I want my 91, 92, 93, 94 Skylines.
Get out of here.
What was the Skyline that what's his face had?
Who's what's his face?
In Fast and the Furious.
Paul Walker?
Yeah, Paul Walker had.
Oh, he had the 99 or 2000.
I wish I could get those cars here still.
You can.
You can. You just can't drive it. You can't insure it.
Do it.
I could get the car. I don't even know if you can bring the car in anymore.
You can do it.
I can figure out a way, brah.
It doesn't have to be legal. Like, you want to put it in your living room?
No, I want to drive it.
Want to put it in your garage?
No, I want to drive
it. So when the teenagers come over and be like, yo, I got that Scott.
I want to make a ricer and then I want to drive it.
Okay. So Gran Turismo is still Gran Turismo. I have fun with it every now and then. Played a lot of Overwatch.
Okay.
Because I was really wanted one skin, but I didn't want to buy any more boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it, so I was pretty happy.
Okay.
That game's still, I don't know why I'm still addicted to that, but I am.
I think it's like your MOBA.
It is.
Yeah.
I can't stop. Can't stop.
You have to stop.
I'm pretty glad that the season's over, so I don't really have anything compelling me to go forward.
So the rank season's over, but also the event season's over?
Yeah. Like, it's all, everything's on break right now, so okay. I have about a week to just chill.
All right.
And then I watched, Black Mirror season 4 came out.
I heard it's intense.
The first episode's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's a Star Trek spoof.
Mm.
And it's really neat. And then, yeah, the next two are pretty intense. Although, the third episode's kind of lame. Like, it's not lame. It's just, it's one of those episodes where it's like, I cannot believe that, like, you went through this elaborate plan. Only to be faulted by the dumbest oversight.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's one of those situations. But it's still the type of show where, yes, technology can be very awful in the future.
Hmm.
And it's very fun to watch.
Okay.
And then, let's see. Did I do anything else? I don't think so. I feel like there's something else I did on my mind, but I can't think of anything.
Maybe it'll come up.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not.
I played a lot of video games.
I'm sure you did.
So I got back into Dirt Rally.
Yes.
But mainly because I bought a new monitor.
Oh, yeah.
I bought a new monitor for my PC. I got that 1080p, that 1 millisecond lag. I got that 144 hertz.
How is it?
It's smooth. Okay. Like, so I got it, and originally I was like, this seems like the same, but I forgot apparently like it doesn't just auto switch over the refresh rate. Mm-mm. Right? So I went into the settings and I switched it over to 144 hertz. And oh my gosh, is that smooth?
Yeah.
It's ridiculously smooth. It's like butter.
So the smooth happens from your PC, or the monitor has a smoothing option?
So I think how it works is your monitor can support up to 144 hertz refresh rate.
Yeah, so you got to turn it on.
I think that only works through just DisplayPort.
Yeah.
So then I turn it on and my PC outputs that thing to my monitor, which can then handle it. Kind of like how it outputs like a certain resolution.
For sure.
Right? That's what it seems to me. But it's, oh my God, it's like night and day. So I have a second monitor, my old monitor, which is only at 60 hertz. And like when you're dragging stuff around, or you're playing, or you're doing whatever, like
playing Minesweeper,
dragging Minesweeper around, doing whatever.
Yeah.
You notice like it's kind of, it's a little jaggy, like it's not smooth. You kind of see where it's refreshing and whatever, right? But on that 144 hertz, like, man, it's like butter. It's, it's like real life. It's super nice. Mm. And I started playing Dirt Rally, on 144 hertz, and that game is smooth. It's like watching a television show.
Yeah,
like
I bet.
It's like watching Rally in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice, and I don't know how I'm ever gonna go back. I think I've had a taste of high end.
Uh oh.
And now, I can never go back.
Well. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell me.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
So yeah, Dirt Rally's fun. I like it. It's hard. So I'm getting to the point. I finished my first rally event, and now I'm on to Rally Cross, and that's a completely different beast. They have this thing; it's called a Joker Lap.
Yeah.
So the Joker Lap is weird. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, Rally's weird, huh?
Where so you're going around like, so Rally Cross is a track, right? And you got like four laps.
Yeah, it's a circuit.
It's a circuit, and while you're going through it, one of your laps has to be taken on this Joker Lap. And the Joker Lap is pretty much like a separate offshoot of the track that's just longer.
Yep.
Right? And you got to take it at least once.
You could choose whatever lap.
Yeah, whatever lap you want, but you have to take it once or else you get a time penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's such a weird rule. Like, but it adds like a certain layer of strategy to it, where depending where you're starting on the grid, or if you get a really good start, you might want to take that Joker Lap immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like, if people get in front, like way in front of you while you're taking that Joker Lap, it might be harder for you to catch up because you can't draft behind anybody, right? You can't follow any lines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or if you're just like really, really far ahead, just take it last. Like just wait, right? Just keep your pace and keep going. So it's pretty interesting. It's just that those cars handle much differently than regular rally cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting into like car tuning now.
Uh-oh.
To like optimize like suspension softness and like differentials and all this stuff and brake biases and that's
too much.
I'm like studying. I feel like I'm studying now. I'm like at school. Yeah. I'm at car school.
Well, that's exactly what you have to do if you want to be the best,
right? And I'm like, because there's a point now where like I think I'm taking very optimal lines.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they can be better. Like I'm sure if I went into manual shifting, I could fiddle with that stuff enough.
Sure.
But I think my lines are really nice and stuff like that, but I'm still like just either barely edging out a podium finish.
Yeah.
And I haven't even touched first place in a Rallycross event. And I'm playing on normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Oh, what could it be? Like I can't just overtune my car in that game. Like you kind of get your car, there's like one or two upgrades that you get for driving certain distances, but other than that, it's fine." I went into car tuning and it's pain, man. It's a lot of trial and error to see like this may be best for the track, but if you're not good with it, then what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, with the Joker Lap, it's actually not that weird. Just think of a pit stop in any other race.
Yeah.
right? If you can't get around, if like say like the way they use like in real life, the way they use it sometimes is say there's for you're battling for first, right? You're in second place, yeah. But you cannot find a way around first. Like there's nowhere to pass. Uh-huh. So you take your Joker, and then you hope by the time that they take their Joker, in the time that you have clear air,
yeah,
you've done that lap faster.
Okay,
right.
And then you come out ahead of their
exactly. That's their what Joker it's used left. For.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then the other event I haven't touched in this one is hill climb.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah, hill climb seems a lot of fun, but I just I don't have the funds for those cars yet.
Yeah.
So I got to do some lower end stuff. But it seems that the difficulty of AI gets harder the better car you get.
Right. Yeah.
So if you start off with like a 1960s Mini Cooper, mm-hmm. and you're facing against other 1960s Mini Coopers, right? But obviously, as your car gets faster, which requires more skill, which then the AI will become faster, and
yeah.
right. So I haven't even touched the upper end tier rally cars because those things look insane.
They're not.
So I'm getting used to it still. I'm kind of bad at it, but I'm getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I've been playing Glitterman's Grove again.
Glitterman's Grove.
This is the fake video game for Frog Fractions 2.
Okay.
The one where it starts off as a base building game for in a fairy forest.
Right.
And then once you either go up into the clouds or dig into the ground enough, you'll find a hidden door. And the hidden door takes you to the real game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the real game plays like an ASCII adventure game. Like top down, kind of like Zelda almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all ASCII graphics and all this stuff. Really Atari 2600 abstract, like this shape is a gorilla. Why? Because I said so. Like that kind of stuff. But I finally got past the part I was stuck, and this game goes places. It's weird in kind of the same ways, or not the same ways, but in what you would expect from the first Frog Fractions.
Right.
Where it's just seemingly random and changes the game on you at crazy moments. Like, for example, at one moment, I had to shave Barack Obama. Like,
that's weird.
Barack Obama was getting ready for his high school debate contest. I had to shave him. And then it was Barack Obama as a president. And before his State of the Union address, I had to shave him.
Ooh.
And then there was a bomb on the Air Force One. And the bomb had a beard. I had to shave the bomb.
Bomb had a beard?
Yeah, over the timer. And
was it like a realistic looking bomb?
Yeah, it was like a C4.
The fuck?
Yeah, it was a bomb. Get it? Because it's a bomb, right?
That's the dumbest shit I've ever
It's
heard.
Super dumb, and it's totally weird. This game goes all over the place, and I love it. But it's definitely one of those things where I feel if you watch a Let's Play of it, or just hear some, it takes all the fun out of it. A lot of the fun is just figuring out a lot of the puzzles by yourself, and also just trying to get through all of that. It's a fun game. It's just fucking weird. I love it. So highly recommended. The other one I did is I played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for the Switch. On Monday I put in about 9 hours into it.
I like it,
but I can see this getting super grindy already.
Well,
it is one of those games, I know.
Yeah.
I'm about 12 hours into it now, and I'm still getting tutorials on new systems and stuff. And in my main menu, I still have a
couple things blanked out.
One of the options that's just 3 question marks.
Uh-oh.
So I'm slowly leveling. Yeah, I'm slowly leveling up. I'm slowly grinding. I'm getting to this I have 4 party members now. You can only have 3 max.
Yeah.
But the thing I like is basically you get stands, like JoJo stands, which are your blades. And your blades can be either like kind of shitty throwaway blades, which like a lot of people have. So you're a driver, right? And as a driver, you can control a blade or blades multiple. And your blade is basically like your companion. It's a real thing. It came from the ether. It comes from the Titans.
Damn,
deep. And they give you certain powers and certain elements, but each blade is also certain classes.
Okay.
So your junk, like you can have a healer, you have a tank, you can have a tack. I think those are the only 3. Oh yeah, tank, healer, attack. And depending on your party setup, because you're the MC, like, you can have whatever one you want. There's also one other character who can have whatever one they want, but they're locked into their main story blades.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, I feel like if you don't have a tank, a healer, and an attack all at the same time, that you just instantly get smoked. Right?
That sounds about right.
If you don't have someone taking all the aggro, if you don't have someone constantly healing,
yeah,
you kind of get wrecked, which is hard because you can't switch out your, or at least I don't think you can switch out your main character out of your party. I never tried, but I assume you can.
Yeah.
And their main blade, the story blade, is an attack.
Yeah.
The main one for the other person is a healer. The main one for the other one is a tank. And the one for the fourth one is another attack.
Mm.
And so you could go tank two attacks, but then you're not healing at all.
Mm.
Right? And it becomes kind of a clusterfuck, especially once you're facing certain enemies. Like, even though an enemy is at your level, it might still just destroy you based on its size.
Yeah.
Right? So you might need to take a lower level version of that down and then upgrade. But there are so many fucking systems. Like,
it looks like a complex game.
It's complex, to say the least.
Mm.
There are numbers flying everywhere. Your blades have multiple skill trees to upgrade, like passive skills, but also there's like a trust level depending on how much you use them to unlock more skill.
Damn.
Each one has different passive abilities. Like, one of the blades I unlocked has botany. Okay. So that when I go to certain gathering points that require, like, where I can get flowers and stuff, if I have botany, I can get extra drops.
Yeah.
Or there are certain gathering points that I can't get, period, unless they're at a certain level of proficiency and whatever. Right? There's, like, one character I found who's a phoenix. And my one character can talk to phoenixes, but it's only level one phoenix, but the phoenix I'm trying to talk to is level two. So I don't know how to upgrade those passive skills at all yet. I don't feel like those were really explained to me yet.
Yeah.
On the positive side, though, the sense of scale is still there from Xenoblade. You're still facing huge enemies and huge environments.
Yeah.
You can jump. You can get around stuff, platform. It's just that certain areas are very obtuse in their design. Like, it's not very obvious where to go or what to do. Like, right now, I know where my account, like, where I have to go. Like, I see a certain city on a mountainside.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, a stairwell goes into a hole in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to get to that stairwell, and there's no other way for me to get there. I found one point that's like a diving point, and maybe that's how you do it. But my character who has diving doesn't have level 2 diving. They only have level 1 diving.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no clue how to upgrade diving. So I'm kind of stuck.
Sounds like you gotta go explore somewhere else.
Exactly. So I feel like I gotta explore somewhere else. I'm doing some side missions. I'm getting some other stuff.
That's fun.
But it is, like, if you thought, like, like Final Fantasy 15 was too simple.
Yes.
Or, like, Persona 5 didn't focus on battles enough.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, maybe Xenoblade's the game for you, because this game is dense with things. Like, MMO levels of dense.
Yeah, the first one was like that too. It probably wasn't as complicated as this one is, but I remember the final boss being real tough and lengthy.
I remember I didn't play the first one, but I played X on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And X was also crazy bad with this kind of stuff, just being very complex. Like, if you leave that game for like a week or two and you don't remember how to play everything, you're fucked. Like, you have to relearn like 20 systems.
For sure.
And figure out how everything works together. But the interesting thing for this one is they have a lot of different special attacks. So your special attacks are done. So I don't know if how it worked in the first one, but what you have three special moves, right? Like, they're your arts.
Mm.
And when you are attacking, you're on auto attack all the time.
Yeah.
The more auto attacks you hit, it charges up your arts. And then when you use your arts, it powers up your special move.
Yeah.
And your special move can go up to level 4. But you can chain special moves dependent on other people's elements and their blade elements. So say I do a fire attack, or sorry, say someone does an earth attack, like stone or whatever, that's a level 1. Then my level 2 fire attack will trigger a special version of it called volcano, which will do my level 2, but then also have an added like flame geyser.
Yeah.
But then, because this level 2 links to wind, my wind person can use a level 3 special to then do like final storm or whatever, and it like shoots lightning down and does weird stuff.
Sounds like fun.
It's hectic. Because when you're doing those special moves, there's a kind of like a grid in the top right corner where it tells you, okay, so if you do stone, the next in the chain are these three elements. If you want like a special version of it, then you do one of those. But then you see from there, then it's like, okay, the next one is these three elements. And then if you don't have it in your party, you're kind of fucked. And you keep going. Like if you're not optimizing special moves, like a lot of the times those things hit for, like I'm around level 26 now, 27. And 10,000 damage in one strike is a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. So that could be like a life or death situation where like, oh, you took the wrong path. You took the wrong elemental path, so you didn't get the level 3, and this boss just wrecks you.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a challenge that's not frustrating. Like, I always feel like if I get stuck on one thing, I have something else to do. If I don't like one option, I have another strategy to try out. And I can always go back to other worlds. It's a very generous fast traveling system. You can just warp to waypoints at will.
Autosave?
I think there is an autosave. I believe so. Because the thing is, like, when you die, it's not game over.
Yeah. Oh.
You just go to your last waypoint, your last fast travel point.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I've always hated that about, like, classic JRPGs.
It's like, oh, look, you did all these things, and you forgot to save, and then you died.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess I'll do that 3 hours of work again later.
Yeah.
Like, that happened to me in Persona 5. Like, you're going through a dungeon, you just get, like, mudooned, and you're like, shit.
Yep.
So that's like, that's pretty nice of them for a game that seems pretty hardcore in every other aspect.
Yeah.
So yeah, aggro of enemies is very important. So you want your tank to be getting all the aggro and your healer to not be getting any aggro at all. And so you equip certain weapons and use certain skills to maintain that. But also you don't want to pull too many enemies at once. Like even though you're level 15, if you pull 5 level 15s, you're going to get fucked.
For sure.
It's hard stuff. So it's definitely an interesting game.
Mm.
I did come to it late. Like, I don't know if it would have made, like, a top 10 list for me.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of the better JRPGs I've played this year. So. Or in recent memory, even. Like, I think I like this more than I liked Final Fantasy 15.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good, too. So
I think it's a good game. I think it's really good. I'm just not deep enough into it, and I think some of the instructions aren't clear enough on certain things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a pain in the booty.
Mm.
And then the last thing I did is I played a new board game. The board game is called BattleCon: Devastation of the Indines.
I feel like I've heard of this, but I probably haven't.
So it's weird. It's a fighting game on a board. I think there are versions that are like versions of the game that you can like play more than two players, but mainly it's two players and you each pick a character, and each character has a specific fighting style. And when you start on the board has 7 spaces, and depending on your character and their attacks or whatever, you are taking 2 sets of cards. One is for left and one is for right. And you're combining one from left and one from right into one attack, right? And you're combining the two. So one might be a movement and one might be a hit.
Okay.
It might be 2 hits. It might be 2 moves to get away from somebody, right? And depending on what your class does, you either want to be far away to do range attacks, or you want to be up in their face to do close attacks. And it becomes a fighting game, like a real fighting game.
The cards, there's only one set of cards, but there's different types of fighters.
Yeah, so there's different types of fighters who each have their own separate cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they all have their own unique movesets, which then you can combine in different ways.
Okay.
And it's really awesome because a lot of fighting game mechanics show up in the board game. Like, if a character doesn't have a lot of movement options, and you're a close-range fighter, and they back you into a corner, like, you're going to get fucked.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, you might have on the turn, you might be like, I backed them into a corner. I know they're going to try and flee backwards, like to run past me.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run with them. Like, I can predict their movements, mm-hmm. right? And then when our turn ends, they're fucked because they're right in front of me again. But then,
wait, do you guys play do your turn at the same time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
What? So how the turn works out is you both pick your moves. You put them face down. Mm-hmm. Once you've both completed, you can do a thing called ante, which is like you have these chips. And depending on the character, antes do different things. Where for the beginner close range fighter, when you ante, it adds plus one priority to your attacks. So you get, right? But for the long range fighter, the more defensive fighter, when you ante, it adds an extra layer of damage soaking.
Yeah.
Right? So then you can ante and do whatever and all that. And then after you're done anteing and that's all done, you can flip your cards.
Yeah.
And you see what happens. Whoever has the most total priority over, say, me and you, wins and goes first. And their attack hits first, or they go first.
Oh, okay.
That finishes. And then the other person's action goes after that. And then the turn ends. What you do is you take those two cards you used, you put them in like a almost like a temporary discard pile.
Yeah.
And then you draw two new cards. Or sorry, you take... Oh, it's kind of confusing. There's two discard piles. So you always have three of each card in your hand.
Yeah.
Right? But there are also two discard piles. One, two spots for left and two spots for right. And those are the moves you have used at two turns ago, at least. So I put the cards down. When I use it, it goes to the discard two. Discard two cards go to discard one. Discard one cards go back to your hand.
Oh, I see.
And so that way you always have six cards in your hand, or you always have like a full hand, but you can't be using the same moves over and over and over and over. Right? So some of it is mind games. Some of it is knowing what your opponent
has in their hand. So like each character has like 10 cards total.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's a really, really cool board
game. I bet it's easier to play out in person.
It is. It's a lot easier to play out in person. Like me explaining it sounds really dense, kind of like when someone just talks a fighting game at you.
Yeah.
But it becomes more intuitive once you play it.
It seems that way.
Yeah. And it really is like the closest thing to a fighting game that's not a fighting game. Yeah. There's all kinds of different characters. You get a whole buttload of different characters in the base game. And they all play differently. There's just like this one guy has a rifle.
Oh.
And pretty much like most of his attacks hit only from range 2 or 4.
Oh.
2 to 4. So if you're range 1 or closer,
yeah,
he can't hit you. So his strategy is that he always wants to keep a certain distance and keep you in a box, right? Whereas the beginner fighter, most of her moves are 1 or 0 range.
Mm.
So you either got to be up in their face or just close enough so you can use a movement plus an attack to like close the gap.
Okay.
We played a couple rounds of that, and that was really good. I was really surprised at how good that was. It, on paper, like, it sounded kind of lame. At a certain point, I was like, why aren't we just playing a fighting game?
Yeah.
But once we got into it, it was really good.
Cool.
Yeah. I really like it.
It was neat.
Other than that, played some bad Nintendo games.
So, like, every week?
Yeah. I got my friends to play Total Recall. Your copy of Total Recall that you gave me.
Have they played it before?
No.
Oh my god.
The game sucks.
Wow.
It's a bad game.
Jeez.
Got them to play my copy of RoboCop
for the NES. Even worse.
Even worse.
Ugh.
It's a bad video game. But yeah, then we played some good ones. I don't know. We played some poppy music. We played some good stuff.
Okay.
It was a good balance.
Hmm.
So yeah, it was these 2 weeks have been, it's been a lot of vacation because I haven't been at work, and it's been a lot of video games.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I had to work.
Yeah. Then I went, I kind of went nuts on the Steam sale.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I bought a lot of vertical shoot 'em ups, like Bullet Hells.
Oh, wow.
Because Cave brought out a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorites on the Japanese PS2, Mushihime-sama, which is like Insect Princess, I think. That came out. That's probably one of the hardest cave shooters. Like, that was on Steam a while ago. Dodonpachi, where you're a helicopter that fights giant robot girls.
Yep.
That came out. There's a whole bunch that I bought. I like those games a lot. They're just hard. They don't call them bullet hells for nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. The cool thing about the Steam versions, though, of a lot of those cave games is that they come with every version of the game.
Oh, like every arcade version?
Yeah, so it's like here's Dodonpachi original, Dodonpachi 1.5, Dodonpachi Black Label, which is the Black Label versions are usually the hardest versions.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get them all in one thing, and then you can like, oh, I'm gonna have infinite continues, like who gives a shit, and like you can just kind of go through the game. So
that's cool.
It's cool. Like there's a lot of neat customization options, and you get a lot of game for your dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Neat.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it, huh?
It's a short week.
Yeah. It is. You know. There's nothing else to talk about. Mm-hmm. This was an episode. Next week is another episode.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. I'm just trying to think about what's coming up. Yeah, next couple weeks are going to be pretty bare until Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be Monster Hunter.
I'm probably going to be talking about Xenoblade a lot. I'm trying to finish Xenoblade before Monster Hunter comes out.
Oh, because you know you won't.
Because I know once Monster Hunter comes out, that's all I'm going to be doing.
What is that, 26th?
Yep.
Is that a Friday?
I don't think it's a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. What is that? 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think that game comes out on Tuesday, right? Only Nintendo games come out on Wednesdays. Or sorry, Fridays.
I don't know. A lot of games come out on Fridays. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Call of Duty was a Friday.
Was it?
Star Wars was a Friday.
Mm.
And Monster Hunter, guess what?
Friday?
Is Friday.
Damn. So what are you doing that weekend?
Nothing, man.
Nothing? Yeah. Nothing. You want to hang out?
I think you're going to have to.
Okay.
Let's see. 26. Yeah, Friday. Hmm. Damn.
So clear out the 27th and the 28th.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything. I'm just going to come over, or you come over, and we'll play Monster Hunter.
Okay. Let's, I'm going to just put that in my calendar.
Going to set a date?
Yeah, yeah. And then call in sick for the week. Yeah. All right. Oh, God.
Oh, you're already sick.
I'm 3 weeks too early, though.
Just show your boss this podcast. And then you're like, look, listen, boss, I'm sick.
No, I shouldn't do that. My boss, he's picking up a new car on Friday.
Okay.
He bought a Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go drive it.
Why? How?
Because I can.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, man. And I'm gonna stick that electric charger in it.
Oof, yeah, stick it in real good.
I'm gonna watch it charge, baby.
Damn.
It's gonna be hot.
Are those chargers done? This is. We can talk about this later.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right, bye.
Sorry if this one's late, too.
Yeah, you should probably put it up, Vince.
No!